We have Dr. Keith Martin on the line now. He's FHN Chief Medical Officer joining us here today. Dr. Martin, good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining me. It's great to talk to you. How is FHN prepared for the virus, virus patients now, Doc, from your perspective? Tell us about it.
Well, it's been an incredible amount of planning. We're prepared quite well. We are on day 49, actually, of our preparation plans, and it is not like anything I've ever seen. It's very similar to the military in the sense that we've been in incident command mode for over 6 weeks, and we've done a great job of setting the facility up to maintain safety for everyone. We've got floors that are specifically for our COVID-19 patients. We've divided our staff, actually, on who can go on those floors so we don't cross-contaminate floors. So it's a very complex kind of approach, but it's really a neat thing to see because it's really working for those who are sick to get the best care they can get. And for those who do not have any risks for COVID-19 are in the hospital for other reasons, we've assured their safety as well. So it's working well.
We're talking to Dr. Keith Martin, FHN Chief Medical Officer. And Doc, how about the providers there, the doctors, providers at FHN? How are they doing, and how has this change impacted your staff?
You know, that's a great question because it's been quite disruptive. It's a very different time. Never in the history of our modern-day medical community or healthcare system have we seen the office side of health systems have to close because folks are staying away. And it's a unique situation. The providers themselves have adapted very well. It's been changing so rapidly that it's difficult to even know, you know, what to anticipate tomorrow. But based on what the current guidelines are and where we're at on that current day, the folks here have adapted very well.
And, Doc, I know that you're an OBGYN doc, and babies are still being born at FHN Memorial Hospital. And talk about how you've changed the procedures.
You know, we've had to do some real work up there as well, because obviously when you're talking about moms and babies and safety, you know, you really have to go the extra mile to do the same thing. We've separated the unit. Moms that are coming in to deliver, we actually bring in a very specific entrance, so there isn't any exposure or potential exposure to other areas of the hospital that may be more of a risk exposure. And, you know, we've limited our visitors, and that's been hard, but we have not eliminated the significant others, which some hospitals on the East Coast had to do. We've been able to at least make sure that the significant others are available throughout their stay and for the delivery process. And, you know, we're working very hard to try not to let COVID-19 distract from a defining moment in folks' lives. We're still trying to make sure that that's a special event for them.
I know that in Illinois now, starting Friday, it's going to be mandatory for everybody in public to wear at least a cloth mask in Illinois.
Right.
Why is that, and why do you think the recommendations have changed, Doc?
You know, that got a little bit confusing even for some of us on the front end of this, but it really comes down to two things. Number one, we did not have enough personal protective equipment to handle a surge being defined as, you know, your hospital has the capacity to take care of, for our hospital, for instance, 100 patients. And if you get beyond that, that's a surge beyond your capacity. So with the unknown on the front end of this, we were conserving our equipment and making sure that our healthcare workers had enough. Since that has now progressed to where we have flattened the curve and we don't anticipate and are still praying that we don't have a surge beyond our capacity, we're able to be a little bit more liberal with the mask usage. And with the cloth masks, we're obviously, as a state, the governor feels that we need to be looking at protecting each other. The cloth mask is not necessarily a mechanism to protect yourself. It's actually to protect the person that you may come in contact with. And so, you know, when this virus is spread, it is spread from isolation droplets or respiratory droplets, and it will prevent you from coughing or sneezing and exposing others. And that's where the mask recommendations really have gone since the beginning.
What about, I know that you've taken a look at this, where can people find around here, where can people find these masks to wear?
That's a great question. We get that regularly. Amazon is actually the number one place that folks are relying on right now. But when you really look at the resources that are out there now, you can make your own mask. You can find church groups that are volunteering to make masks for people. There are all kinds of resources in the community. FHN has provided most of that information on their website at fhn.org. There's even a great video by our Surgeon General, Dr. Jerome Adams, on how to make your own mask. So there's several resources available, and if folks really put any effort into that, they can find that fairly easily.
We're talking to Dr. Keith Martin, FHN Chief Medical Officer at FHN, here on the Dial the Doc program. And Doc, what about, is it mandatory once you leave your house, you have the mask on?
Well, according to the governor's rule, as of Friday, May 1st, the mask-wearing recommendation is in those situations where folks can't maintain social distancing, with that being defined as at least 6 feet in between the next person. So I think, you know, if the recommendation is to carry one with you, if you think you are going into a public space where you cannot maintain adequate social distancing, then it's mandatory that you wear a mask. Now, I believe that certain retail stores and other individual businesses are going to make that mandatory as you enter their establishments because they probably can't adequately ensure that everyone maintains social distancing. But really the recommendation is in those situations where you feel that you can't maintain that distance.
And what about, I'm sure you've been asked this question too, but what about cleaning and what's your recommendation on that and cleaning your masks?
You know, that's another good question because people forget that. They put these masks in their pockets and away they go. But there's a couple of things that are details that need to be maintained, and that's one of them is washing. And, you know, soap and water will do it. It's why washing your hands and maintaining distance works. And it's, you know, the strategy has worked. So washing the mask regularly with soap and water will work. The other detail that people forget is even when they take their mask off, I mean, people don't know. They don't wear masks every day like those of us in the healthcare industry. But even taking the masks on and off, if you've been wearing it, if there's a potential that it's contaminated, you want to make sure you grab the ear loops and not the front of the mask to avoid the germs or potential viruses that may be attached to the mask itself.
Doc, it's always interesting, you know, in terms of course, you're a doctor, you know, the situation, but and, of course, you're handling the situation at work on a daily basis. But how are you handling it with your situation, your home personal situation? How do you handle this?
Well, Scott, if you want to talk to my wife, she's driving me crazy personally. So, you know, my honey to-do list has grown since we're staying at home. But our family consists of six kids, and they're in five different states, and all of them are sequestered in their homes, and we are doing the same. And, you know, we're being creative, obviously, on how we get by, but we're doing okay. I think everyone has that challenge. It's a social aspect of this that we have to recognize, too, just in general. It's, you know, parents are not only at home trying to work, as you know, but they've become teachers in the past 6 weeks, and that's quite a strain. You know, we don't face that at home because I have older children, but I really feel for those parents that are really spinning all of those plates in the air because it's really something that gets to you after a while. So it's a good question. My family's good. You know, I just keep doing more yard work, and that's okay. I'll get a tan, and everything will be fine.
Good for you. Good for you. What advice do you have, Doc, for families and individuals out there now for the next several weeks?
You know, just encouragement. I will tell you that the spirit of this community has energized us. As tired as we are, you know, meeting twice a day, 7 days a week for over 6 weeks now, going on 7 weeks, the amount of energy that people have really brought forward to help. I think staying the course with social distancing is something that people are going to need to get used to. Washing hands, trying to find a way to try and adjust to this new norm. It's not going to go away for a while, But if we're all in this together, it truly will be okay on the other side of this.
And this, and I think that's an important point to make is that this is not, once things open up and once or loosen up a little bit, you know, we're talking about until there's a therapeutic treatment out there. And also, of course, ultimately a vaccine, which is a year and a half away. As you say, there's going to be a new normal and we're just going to have to act differently and behave differently here for a while.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, it shouldn't be a pessimistic outlook. The viewpoint from our perspective is, as we get back into society, if people truly will just respect the new norm for the time frame that it's required, we'll continue to be able to manage this effectively. You know, a lot of folks were confused about the stay-at-home strategy, and it really worked. And it will continue to work in that it's the rate of spread that we're trying to control. We can't eliminate the virus. It's going to run its course. And so if we can control the rate of spread, we will be able to help people at a pace that will make sense. So as people get back, I think people will become a little bit happier in general that they can get out and about. But at the same time, if we can really maintain those rules along the way, I think we'll do very well.
And until we have a vaccine, I think you make a great point that, again, also is not made out there, but I think does have to be made, is that you're not talking about decreasing the number of people who actually get the virus. It's just the rate of spread that you're talking about over a longer period of time.
Correct. And that really, you know, because it's become politicized, it really distracts from the facts. And the facts are that this strategy worked. Now we need a strategy, though, that is sustainable. Right now, this isn't sustainable. People without work is not sustainable because you create all kinds of other problems. So now as we get back at things, we'll have a different strategy. But yes, the bottom line is we have to stay the course until this virus is gone, and it's going to be a while.
All right, Dr. Keith Martin, Chief Medical Officer for FHN. Doc, where could people learn more about what we talked about today and also maybe find more information on maybe making your own mask?
Oh, sure. And we've put together quite a bit of information on our website. I think it's a tremendous resource. The folks at M45 and Marilyn Smith have done a tremendous job of getting that information together. It's at www.fhn.org. And if you navigate through there, you will find all kinds of resources on COVID-19, including videos and instructions on making masks and where to get them.
All right, Doc, great to talk to you. Great information. Let's talk again soon, all right?
Okay, I appreciate it, Scott, very much.
All right, Dr. Keith Martin here today, FHN Chief Medical Officer here this morning, and that is Dial-A-Doc. And the preceding today brought to you today by FHN.